Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast support feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ready for a digital dive? You're listening to the GZ Chop Shop podcast, the weekly tech and gaming media podcast that breaks down the latest news, lore, and more. So plug in, because the GZ Chop Shop starts now.
Yo, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to another week of the GZ Chop Shop podcast. I am your host, Project Itachi, joined by my good friend and co-host, War Nurse. And this week, we're just going to have a little bit of fun this week. We say the last few weeks, but honestly, for the last few months, I think we were diving deep into like the muck of the tech industry, the gaming industry. Like, you know, we were revealing some conspiracies and
I was starting to feel like some kind of like Alex Jones of fucking gaming. It was getting a little much.
Yeah. So, you know what? Let's go back to our roots. Before the episode, before we actually started recording this episode, you were talking about the GZ Chop Shop. Wait, what?
Oh, I thought you said before we started the show, I thought we were talking about how if I died, I'm saying it's okay. Well, I'd be mad that you would use AI to synthesize or recreate me. And I'd be even more mad if you found some newfound success with my AI counterpart.
With the AI counterpart co-host. But no, when we were talking about way back, because I think we're well over 100 episodes. We're pushing almost 150 episodes now. And when you came into the GZ Chop Shop, I hadn't even broken 100 episodes yet. But in the beginning, it was all about, you know, just strictly gaming. Like, you know, we did talk about the news, but we were very, you know, we didn't dive deep into things. We just kind of like grazed the surface of it and how the show has evolved to what it is now, where we're like getting into the muck.
Thinking about that not too long ago, how we used to just kind of be gaming and some like anime and comics occasionally. Mm-hmm. And then we have so many episodes that are going over AI, internet technology. Solar flares for some reason. I don't know how that
the
ended
end
up
of the there. Internet.
The end of the internet. Who controls the internet? That was a wild one. We've gone down a lot of borderline conspiracy sounding topics. And then we turn around and talk about the movies and music sometimes. So we've gone over a lot of things that were not there at the beginning.
Yeah. And you know, it's
depending on what episode you tune into and listen to for the first time is a pretty big deal. Cause yeah, you know, you tune into the right episode and you're like, oh, we like this. There's some comedic factor. These guys seem okay. They like gaming or whatever the case is. And then you tune into another one and it's all you hear is fuck Microsoft or Sony for 4 straight months. Or another one, you know, like, oh, GZ Chop Shop gaming podcast, cool. And then the first episode you hear is, we're all going to die next year from solar flares.
Breaking news.
Whoever, I imagine anyone, you know, those people who have been with us for a while are very confused.
Yes. But, you know, if you've been with us since the beginning, we definitely appreciate you. Like, I want to say the plan was to deliver a roller coaster experience with this podcast. It didn't get delivered the way I envisioned it, but I am not upset with how it's gone. Like, roller coaster ups and downs are meant to be unpredictable. And the fact that it's unpredictable sometimes, even to us, I think is what gives us such a unique dynamic and gives our listeners such a unique experience. Because sometimes, you know, you'll come up and you'll be like, hey, did you know? And I'm like, no. And then we do that back and forth. And we definitely know our listeners are like, we didn't know that either. So, yeah, the Chop Shop has definitely evolved over the last few years that we've been doing it. And if you're new to the show, we definitely recommend going back and checking some of our early episodes and just hearing how it's evolved over the time, over these last 100 or so episodes. And I promise you will not be disappointed. You're going to laugh. You're going to be confused. You're going to be enlightened. And the one thing I always try to stress to people is it's more than a gaming podcast. A lot of people, they get stuck on the gaming part and they're like, oh, you know, I don't know anything about games. Oh, it's just games.
I think we're more of an entertainment podcast.
Yeah,
now.
We actually dive more into entertainment and news. We pretty much break down the news that a lot of people just don't have the time to consume because it's not mainstream news, but it still indirectly affects them, which is another thing, like, especially with technology, like, why are the prices of this going up and why is this company buying that company? We cover those things so that people are informed without having to do the research into something that they might not be willing to do the research into. That's what we do for them. And then we break it down. And then all at the end of the day, it all comes back to Microsoft. It's always Microsoft's fault.
One of my favorite moments, I don't remember exactly what was said. I just remember the topic, and it was you and me. And this was about 2 years ago, I think, actually. And Julie and Kara were on the show. Mm-hmm. And somehow a conversation about like Disney and media and streaming services turned into alien abductions and sleep, like fucking aliens, and somehow Walt Disney was involved, and I don't remember what it was about, but it lives in my head rent free, and I've been needing to look up this because it's back when Kara was doing the Odd News segment.
Kara's Corner.
Which the Kara Corner, and I kind of missed that. I've considered bringing that back with a new twist, because I enjoyed that, and the Florida Man news was always a gem to me. But I don't remember the exact conversation. I just remember the flow of the conversation and what was kind of being discussed. And I think about this sometimes. I'll be at work having a good or bad day thinking about that random conversation sometimes.
You know, and the thing is, Yuli has a very unique way of connecting things that have no business being connected.
Yeah, it should not be connected.
But he does it so effortlessly that you sit there and you can't help but go, I know this shouldn't make sense. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Yet when he says it, it makes sense. Why does it make sense?
You ever watch episode of South Park? And you're seeing how Eric Cartman's doing the most ridiculous bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's offensive in every way. Yet, on some level, you get where he's coming from.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Yuli sometimes. That's Yuli. He's connecting dots, and it makes me so angry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 100% Yuli. But yeah, like, I didn't see the show still going at this point. You know, when you're starting a new endeavor, you hope that things will progress. But if someone comes to you and goes, okay, in like 5-10 years, where do you see it? You really don't know. Like, most people are, their answer is going to be, I hope. You know, they're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to be at, you know, XYZ. You just are like, I hope I'll still be doing XYZ. So, because I asked you, you know, before I hit record, I was like, what episode number are we on? And it's at the point, like, when you're in the double digits, you're like, oh, it's episode 10, episode, you know, 20, which, by the way, statistically, most people that start a podcast endeavor, even though there's tons and tons of podcasts out there, most that start don't go beyond their 10th episode. Statistically, a lot of people give up by their 10th episode because they didn't realize how much work goes into it, how much time and energy, you know, is required to create a podcast. And they usually opt out after the 10th episode, but the shows are still out there adding to the plethora of podcasts that exist. But if you go, you find out a lot of them, they're not, you know, they're not in their 10th episodes, and not many people are going to make it to like the Joe Rogan level of like thousands of episodes, you know, where they can turn it into a lucrative career. And for me, I think the only reason I was able to keep it going is because I was able to shift focus a bit. Like, I love gaming, and I was like, I wanted to create something that helped me connect with people in the community of gaming. And did I want it to become, you know, become this lucrative thing? Absolutely. Everyone who starts an endeavor, I believe, in some way wants it to be, you know, a monetary gain in some way. But I think if I had made that my main focus and kept harping on that, we wouldn't be in our 100th or whatever episode. I think I would have bowed out after like, you know, 10, because we're a very instant generation. Like, every generation now is used to like the week, well, it's like the microwave generation, everything instant, 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 instant. And I think that's like a wrong approach with something like podcasts, because if you don't love what you're doing and you're doing it because you enjoy it, then it's not going to get anywhere, you know, and you're not going to be motivated to do it. And if I had that approach for a little while, and it wasn't affecting just the podcast, like, you know, like how I wanted to approach the show, but like also why I started not enjoying games. I started not enjoying certain shows, and I was like, man, what is going on? It's because I had lost my way. And I was like, you know, let me just do it because I want to, because it's fun. And here we are, up in the hundreds, to the point we don't remember what number we're at. We're like, it's 130 something.
I forget what day of the week it is sometimes, so it's not a surprise.
So, but yeah, today definitely want to go back to like what our roots of the show was and just talk about some games. And one of the ones that has sucked me into another black hole, you pretty much called it. You were like, all right, see you in like 2 weeks, is Cyberpunk.
Dude, hats off to Cyberpunk for having such a rough start on launch and getting so much just pushback and understandably negative responses, to turn it around a few years later and almost be a different game with a whole new feel.
Yeah.
I haven't played the DLC yet, but you have, and I've heard a lot from you and people online and things that I've seen. So let's hear it, man.
So I would say this, if you were one of the people who refunded Cyberpunk in the early days, get the copy, get it back. This is the game that they wanted to release originally, but the investors rushed them, the gamers rushed them. So we got probably like Cyberpunk when it was released was alpha, 100% calling. That was Cyberpunk alpha. That was the bare bones, what they could give us and legally charge us for. But Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty is the game CD Projekt Red wanted us to have. And it's completely, the game is completely different. The city feels more alive. You're actually living in the future now. Like before, the cyberware system didn't feel as fleshed out to me. Like, I didn't feel futuristic. Yes, you know, I could go around, find good weapons, find good cars, find good, you know, cyberware, but I didn't get to feel like a digital hacker. Like, netrunning is a huge thing in the cyberpunk world, board game, in the anime, but the game, it didn't feel like I could be a netrunner. And that's my thing. I'm a huge tech head. So in a game like Cyberpunk, being able to be a netrunner sounded amazing. I can look at something and hack it. I can look at a person and hack them, but it was very limited. And unless it was a combat hack, it really was no point. So I didn't get to really be the netrunner that I envisioned myself being when they announced the game. Phantom Liberty has completely changed that. I mean, before, it leaned more to run and gun, action oriented, you were having a good time. Now, Phantom Liberty definitely rewards you for being a netrunner. I mean, the way I play the game, and I'm thinking about streaming it at some point just to show how much netrunning is fun. It's not everyone's kind of play style. Like, if you love to run and gun, you can still run and gun. But now I can live in the world and I can hack everything. You could be walking down the street and I look at you and I'm just like, you know what? I feel my inner Yuli taking over. I'm going to hack you with three different hacks and then knock you unconscious, because now they've set the trees where, like, if you combine certain hacks, they have an ultimate effect at the end. So, like, I can wipe your memory, then I can blind you, and then if I deafen you with my third hack and all three of those hacks are combined, it automatically knocks you out. And the only thing that doesn't work on is bosses. So enemies who are a higher level than me, and I'm like, ooh, yeah, you could probably one punch me, I just combine hacks and knock them out. And I love that. And I don't always have to use, like, violent hacks. Like, I have a stealth netrunner approach. I was telling Burn the other day how I pulled up on a side gig to an Arasaka factory, and I was supposed to go in and get this information. The whole factory's got guards, robots, cameras, turrets, everything. I pulled up in my car. I looked at one camera, and then I took over control of that camera, and without even stepping out of my car, I took out every single guard in that blade, in that whole factory.
You're not even playing the game. You're walking through the game.
Like, I took everyone out. I was using a contagion virus, so when one was infected, they spread the infection. I was...
Man's a bioterrorist in this game.
I was short-circuiting all their robots. I took over their turrets and put them on friendly mode. And they were looking for me, but they couldn't find me because I was sitting in my car across the street. All I needed was one camera, and I was in their system. And I love that because after I took them out, I just walked in the building, got what I needed, took all their weapons, opened up all the goodies, and walked out. Never once had to fire a single shot. And they've made so many nuance changes that are amazing, like to the optical camouflage system. Now, I don't have to be like, okay, let me turn on my camo, run up and sneak attack someone. Just for ducking and running, my camo will activate automatically. I can do my little ninja run and sneak up on people. I can, you know, they call it the shinobi sprint, because there's a lot of Easter eggs in the game. So I do my little shinobi sprint, and then I disappear. I sneak up, I take someone down. And the whole time they're trying to track me, they can't, because I'm systematically taking them out. They've implemented face changing technology in the game. So if the cops are on to me, I can digitally change my face, which is a perk.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You pick up in the story and it's like, oh, you're looking for this version of me. Let me change my face. Now who are you looking for? They've brought technology that we would expect in that time. And now it's in the game. Like, I would say there's almost nothing you can't do. Like, you can do everything now. Like, someone's driving down the street and they hit your car, you could hack their car and take over, or you can blow up the car.
I was hearing a lot of gamers that have played Cyberpunk since it came out that used mods quite a bit, saying that mods aren't really as a necessity in the game like they were.
Yeah, I think the mods now would be more just personal preference, maybe cosmetic, than necessity, because it seems like CD Projekt Red heard what people wanted. They added it to what they already wanted to give us, and they delivered us a completely new experience. And the Phantom Liberty story is just freaking amazing. I mean, it's a spy thriller, like literally a spy thriller.
Phantom Liberty sounds like a Metal Gear Solid game.
Yeah.
That's the taste it gives me.
Yeah. There was a part in the game that I did yesterday where I had to play poker to get information. They basically were like, you know, it would be really awesome. What if we added Casino Royale, but you were James Bond? And I'm sitting there playing poker, you know, against these people trying to get this information and at the same time copying their identity for later use. Like it's an intense spy thriller that adds a new ending to the game. And so much so that when I reached the end of the Phantom Liberty story, the rest of Night City, as improved as it is, just like didn't carry that same excitement. It's like, okay,
your old life is boring.
Yeah. Like, oh gosh, back to this normal life. Oh, I guess I got to go rob some people. But no, like it was
go back to regular crime.
Go back to regular crime. Oh no. But no, like Dogtown is a very enjoyable experience for being the slums. Just everything that happens in Dogtown is high octane, never ending action. It's a lawless town. Every man for themselves. Anything goes. Airdrops. So there's always gunfights going on. You actually start feeling connected to some of the people you are introduced to. You start also seeing how you perceive certain things in life. Like a lot of people, they just make action, you know, they're just like, oh, I just want to have a chaotic run. Well, Phantom Liberty actually, I feel, gives you consequences for your choice. And even the good choices aren't always good. You know, so it really brings your personal character into question. Because there's really no good, no evil. It's just how you perceive things, and you really are given the choice to show where you stand on these things, which will determine, you know, one of these new, I think, two possible endings that they've added. And I found out that despite, you know, like you guys always think like, oh, I'm a nice guy. The way that I've handled things in Dogtown, with the way I actually felt about it, I found out sometimes I can be a cold bastard with some of my choices.
Games show us that other side of ourselves we didn't know existed.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love Phantom Liberty. Some of the new weapons, there's a sniper rifle that you get in the story that is just plain sexy. It's a tech rifle. It's called this, Race Tsunami. There's a new tech brand, Tsunami, and I just love that sniper rifle. I love it. It fits with my net running. I'm 100% for it. So yeah, but if you guys can't tell, I love Phantom Liberty. Cyberpunk is an amazing game. If you stop playing it, go back to it. If you're like, oh, I don't want to buy the DLC, you can still enjoy the updates without the DLC. 2.0 was absolutely free. You just won't have access to the story, and you won't have access to Dogtown, and I think some of the new weapons. But you can enjoy 2.0 with all of its perks and everything absolutely free. So if you still have Cyberpunk, update it, play it for yourself. The skill trees are completely different, way better. You're not limited to that one ultimate ability anymore. You can have, like, if you got the skill points for it, you can have all the abilities you want. You can be a menace and... If somehow I don't think you can, but if you could, you could have every skill available in the game to you. And they made a lot of things make more sense now too. I think a lot of stuff that they couldn't put in the game because they got rushed that they added to the game makes things make more sense. There was an extra skill tree. We all suspected there was an extra skill tree they wanted to give us that they didn't. Come to find out, there was. It's called the Relic Skill Tree. So they added that in there. Totally worth checking out. Some awesome perks in that. But yeah, I love Cyberpunk. I could go on for hours about how much it's improved and way better. But speaking of the game, slightly changing gears here. Did you ever get Armored Core yet?
Oh yeah, I have it. I can't play more than one game at a time if my intention is to platinum the game. And I've really taken my time at Baldur's Gate. Of course, you know, I work a lot of hours, some overtime, so I don't always get to play on my days off when I'm just kind of doing other things, catching up on life. But I'm finishing up Act 2 in Baldur's Gate 2, or finishing up Act 2 in Baldur's Gate 3 now. I'm thinking about finishing that up today. And then I'll probably jump on Armor Core 6. But the problem is, MechWarrior 5 has a DLC that came out.
Oh, goodness.
And I'm one of the few niche MechWarrior players. So I love my simulation mech games. So I might do that first.
You're torn?
I'm a little torn.
Do me this solid. do me this solid, okay? Because I know when you start a game, you're in that game for a
while. Yeah, there's been times I've like jumped on the DLC for MechWarrior because they'll change part like some of the games to where it changes the whole game, like in different aspects. And then like 5 months will go by and I'm like, holy shit, I've only played this one game for 5 months.
Yeah. Get through your act in Baldur's Gate, because you and I, we both love Baldur's Gate, so I totally understand the investment of Baldur's Gate. But start Armored Core. The reason I'm telling you to start Armored Core, you know the Mech Warrior story. You know the Mech Warrior lore. Like you said, you're one of the niche community. You know that story, that lore.
Yeah, I'm pretty into Battletech lore.
Yeah. This Armored Core is a completely different story. It is not connected to the first, I want to say, 20 games, which a lot of people don't.
I played a large amount of the original Armored Core games. I've only played the Armored Cores, like the numerical ones. I have never played the spinoff side story ones.
Yeah. Which there's a lot of, which is why I say I think they have like 12 to 20 games total.
Yeah, they have a lot. Yeah, I definitely haven't played that many, just the numerical ones.
Play 6, and the reason I'm saying play 6 is because you will not regret it. 6 deserves, and in the same way demands, 3 solid playthroughs. The thing about it is you will willingly go through those 3 playthroughs because the story is just that good. The customization is amazing, but the story is good. For never seeing any NPC character in that game, I have not felt so attached to anybody in a video game that way since like Tales of Arise, which was like 2020. It takes a lot for me to feel attached to a video game character.
I could see your point here. Let me explain. Okay. Finish Baldur's Gate. Okay, and then I go on and I play Armored Core. By the time I finish Armored Core, it might be possible that there's another DLC out for MechWarrior. And then I could be catching up with 2 MechWarrior DLCs, because they put one out every 5 to 6 months. They've been doing that for about 4 years now. So there's quite a few DLCs, and some are better than others. So you know what? I could binge 2 new DLCs by the time I'm done with Armored Core. Not that I'll play Armor Core for 5 months, but being optimistic here, I'm always down to have 2 DLCs waiting for me, MechWarrior. Yeah. And I'd like to point out, no big deal, everybody, but I'm totally a billionaire.
He's so proud
in the BattleTech universe. I have over 2 billion C bills. I don't just own a company; I am the company.
He is the company. This man, if video games ever let,
lucky I can't buy fucking planets in that game. Dude, what did I do? Currency, I disappeared for like 2 months straight.
And you did.
And I grinded that game out until I hit $1 billion. And then I was like, $1 billion? What if I hit $2 billion?
You did. You vanished. And the thing is, the most we would get out of you is like, hey, dude, you're alive. Yeah, just playing Mac Warrior. And that was it. That was all we would get. And it was just like, okay, well, at least he's alive. And then you surfaced like nothing happened.
When they added airstrikes to that game, it was a wrap for me, dude.
You were gone.
When they added airstrikes, that was the best. I forget which DLC it was. It was like 3 DLCs in, but they added the ability to just fucking laser in airstrikes. And that was a wrap for me. And then they started adding like all kinds of just more warfare and battlefield stuff that went into how you play tactfully.
Yeah.
So it made the game less get less old after a while, because it can seem a little repetitive. It's one of the biggest problems Mech Warrior games and simulation games is they can tend to feel a little repetitive after a while, which is understandable. Like, we all want something to kind of be different. So they've given you enough over the years, made enough changes and add-ons to the game that it doesn't feel stale immediately. I've considered starting a new world, but that, man,
would lose you again.
I don't know if I have it in me.
Nah, that was a commitment. I will say Armored Core is not that much of a commitment. It's a commitment, but it's not that much of a commitment.
And the thing is like, MechWarrior 5 is like, it takes place right before MechWarrior 2 Mercenaries, and MechWarrior 2 Mercenaries is my favorite one. So there's a lot of mercenary companies and clans that are starting to appear in MechWarrior 5 universe that were in MechWarrior 2 and MechWarrior 2 Mercenaries. So it's really cool seeing like all this stuff start coming together. So I'm really hopeful that we're going to see the clan invasion. I don't expect anyone to know what that means, but it's a problem. So yeah. I'm looking forward to it, because now in this game, you can be doing a mission and you can get invaded by other mercenary units. That's a new thing they added to the game. You'll be minding your own business, doing your mission, and you'll get a transmission. And it's like, and you're like, what is that? What is that? Eagle Fire. And just like fucking shit blows up, and then they land, and then it's a whole thing. And you're like, Jesus Christ.
See, cool. That's something like a lot of games could learn from, like that intensity, that's, you know, surprise. One thing I will say though, I'm glad like Armor Corps doesn't have something like that. I'm sure veterans
mercenary groups.
But if they kind of did in 5, like there was online and it was like factions, and depending on your wins for your faction, that faction took over more area. I think in 6, it's just matchmaking. It's just, you know, pilot versus pilot 3-on-3, which I think is pretty good, because there's no meta in the game. There is like one meta weapon, but everyone knows it. Anyone can get it. It's easy to get. Everyone can use it. So like, you still got to be a good pilot. You still got to think outside the box and outmaneuver the competition. I have beaten that game to 98%. My last objective is beating every mission on S rank. But I've done all 3 endings. I've done the good, the bad, the true. And I will say, like I said, it has one of the best stories for a game in that genre, in my opinion. It was, it definitely had an emotional pull I was not expecting for a mech game. And I was like, wow. Like, I left the game still thinking about it. And I'm like, FromSoft, you did good. You're still on your A game. If this was the 10 year wait, totally worth it. And I do hope they have DLC for Fires of Rubicon. I don't know what they would do. If they're basing it off of what the true ending is, then the story could continue. Or maybe they could have some like in between missions, or just add some other missions. But I really hope that they have a DLC plan for it. Like, yeah, I really do. But we, you know, see, this is the thing. When you go down the gaming rabbit hole, time flies. But this is we actually, all the time we have for the for this episode this week. But I think we're going to bring back some of the just general gaming conversations in future episodes, because don't you guys worry, Microsoft, Bethesda, whatever other major tech companies, Epic Games, whoever's out there being a juggernaut, they're going to do something stupid for us to talk about anyway as breaking news in a in a future podcast. So we are going to get some more gaming conversations in the future, just to revisit how the GZ Chop Shop all began. But anyway, if you guys love this episode, think about checking out our other podcasts, Afterthoughts After Dark, on our Patreon page. It's our Patreon exclusive podcast. We moved it strictly to Patreon now. So if you guys want to be wondering where the episodes for that went, they're over on Patreon, patreon.com/OSM Media. We actually just recently did an episode. It was a really good one. We covered a lot in that rabbit hole episode, but totally go check it out. Yuli joined us, Burn joined us. We had a full panel. It was a really good time. So go check that out. And if you want to support us, visit our store, osnmediashop.com, and get some exclusive merchandise to show your support for the podcast, the live streams, and everything we do. We literally would appreciate it. Anyway, you guys have been amazing. Take care of yourself and each other. And we'll catch all you wonderful people on the next podcast. Later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any fashion litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone? Project Itachi here. Do you enjoy the show? If so, think about supporting us on Patreon, Acast for exclusive perks, content, and more. Also, visit our store, thegzshop.com. You can find all of our links on our website, osn-media.com. Until next time.